Thank you for bearing with the physical changes in the room. They're having some sort of theatrical production, which I am not a part of, but here we are. This morning I want to share with something that probably goes right along with what Bob shared last Sunday about God in America. Because you know, life for many folks, including us, isn't so easy at times, is it? I mean, we face challenges, we have problems, we have distractions, and all sorts of other things that would attempt to disrupt our peace, right? But I wanted to start off by reading a section of scriptures in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start there this morning. First Timothy chapter 2, we will start in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now pay attention to this verse. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? This is God's desire. This is His end goal, if you will. And I'm not sure that that's actually going to happen, but that's still His desire. And who knows, maybe one day that's when He'll send His Son to take us out of here. But with that being said, that's kind of the precursor or the pre-show of what I'm going to be getting into this morning. But I want to take a minute to just say how blessed we are. Some might say lucky, but we are in fact blessed to be living in the United States of America. And I know it's divided. Things are tough at the moment, but let's not forget those who have put their lives on the line so that you and I can be together here today and open the scriptures and praise the Father without persecution. So we all need to stand up for this. We all need to stand up for the Word of God, for this country, and continue to do what God has called us to do, right? Because this country has always been a great place to live in. But you know what? God needs to be put back in charge. Amen? He needs to be put back in the schools. He needs to be put back into the government. I mean, this country was founded on the principles of God's Word. And that for sure has gotten overlooked as time has gone on. And you know, I sometimes sit down and start thinking, wishing that people would know just how life would be if they have God in their lives. God sure does some pretty incredible things if you let Him, right? We all know this from experience. I mean, He could turn this country around. But for some reason, they say, let's take God out of everything. We don't need God. Now, I'm not going to get into politics this morning, but God is bigger than any other politician out there. And I'm here to say that we need to stand and fight for this country. So anyways, what does this all mean? Last week, I was on the phone with another believer who is one of our callers, actually. And she asked me, what do people mean when they say that there's a lot going on? Bless her heart. To which I responded, I think folks are referring to the things that divide people on a daily basis, including politics. But aside from the political climate, the enemy is at work nonstop. And because of it, people's lives are being destroyed. They're being destroyed by ridiculous ideologies that are being forced upon us. Kids are being targeted. Other folks are being indoctrinated into giving God's name a bad rap. Things like that. But these things are all just attempts from the enemy to distract people from what's really important. And you ever experienced that? I'm sure we all have. Every person in here who's born again, every other person who's born again of God's Spirit has faced some sort of attempt from the enemy to get their peace swept under the rug like it doesn't even matter. But God has given us a greater purpose as to what we need to do. And guess what? What the world needs now, which is the title of my sharing this morning, what the world needs now is you. And we're going to go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. This is Old Testament here, but would you agree that what this verse is stating stands true today? Absolutely. So let's ask ourselves this question. What do you bring to the table? Well, many people tend to put their identities, if you will, into their job titles and their careers and whatnot. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a teacher, I'm this, I'm that. And yeah, generally you'll have some sort of secular thing that you'll kind of identify along with, right? I work in the entertainment industry. I work in business. I'm very successful in this. I'm good at that. The list goes on and on. And I want you to think about maybe some other things. What about supernatural? What about children of light? Partakers of the divine nature? What about this one? A peculiar people. A lot of folks tend to kind of joke around with that, but it's still so true. We've been bought with a price and are so special in the Father's eyes. Because we're all members in particular, and you are a member of the body of Christ with a very unique function, with a very unique purpose, and a very special ministry and calling that only you can fulfill, that God has called you to. And just like it says in this verse in Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because we are people, we are individuals that identify fully with the accomplished and finished work of Jesus Christ. And guys, this is who you are. And this is what the world needs now, amongst other things. Because we're all children of the Most High God. And I'm a son of God. You are a son of God. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances appear to be like around you. It doesn't matter how we may feel at times, how worthy we may feel, how inadequate or adequate we may feel. None of that matters. What matters is what the Word of God says about who you are. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a look at it real quick in John chapter 3. That's been the question of all time because many people are just not satisfied with this. I think they have to prove themselves over and over again. But the truth of God's Word says, find out who you are as a believer first and foremost. But go ahead, accomplish anything you want in life. But priorities? John chapter 3. Okay, 1 John, I'm so sorry. 1 John chapter 3. I knew there was a typo. There it is. There we go. This is exactly what I was looking for. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because didn't know Him. You know, in some translations it says, and we are. Because many people, they feel worthless, right? They feel like they aren't accomplishing anything. And probably due to the inconsistent confidence and trust in this checkbook. Well, guess what? Your value is also not determined based on the amount of money you have in the bank. Your value is determined upon the truth of God's Word. And 1 2 of 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. There it is. And doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We've had such a great exposure to different sharings and whatnot, trying to get us to really lock in our mindset as to what our full and complete identification really is. And we know what that is. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. But this is so powerful. Because, you know, we play around with this from time to time, but you are what the Word of God says you are. You have what the Word of God says you have. You will be what the Word of God says you will be, and you can do what the Word of God says you can do. This is what the Word of God says. And it says in God's Word that God hid this from many generations. And at some point, He revealed it to all of mankind and gave man His purpose. It's just so far beyond what anyone could think of. And guess what? We're going to take a look at that. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 1:25. This is such a classic section in God's Word. It says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations from now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, folks, this is so profound and so far beyond any human comprehension. Only God could have really done this. Jesus must have felt some turmoil in His head when He found out what He had to do, right? But that's ultimately what mankind, that's what the world really needed in order for mankind to get back into God's presence. And you think it's gotten any easier since then? I'll let you be the judge of that. I mean, we just mentioned a few things that are currently happening in particular in our country, but what the world needs now is for you and I to live out exactly this section, scriptures. And what a great joy and challenge it is to be able to do that. But the reality is, the unfortunate reality is that we're in the devil's playground. Why don't you go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5:8. Says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Yeah, I find this verse so fascinating because notice it says that the devil seeks whom he may devour. But the truth is that there are those who he cannot devour. Bingo. And that would be you and I. I mean, this is all part of spreading God's love. It is a spiritual battle, after all, at the highest level, I would say. Because we're living in a world where the enemy ultimately reigns supreme, sadly, over so many lives. But, like Bob mentioned, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're going against principalities of the darkness of this world. But I think we can all agree that it's a battle that we're up against. The world needs you. The world needs me. Last month, we were looking at this subject that Barney shared called The Road to Excellence. And what is it that we really need to do to get ourselves equipped to be the best version of ourselves? To be those ministers that God has called us to be. To be the lights of this world. To excel in anything we do, spiritually or in life, it's going to take something from us. It takes effort, it takes time, and it takes diligence. Because God has done all that He could possibly do to get us where we need to be. He's done His work. He's loved us and continues to do so unconditionally. And he's accomplished the work of His Son on our behalf. And I think that we all clearly know that Christ did whatever it took. And that truth still stands today. God has called us to a great extent out of darkness. But in just a moment, I've asked Jeffrey and those guys to cue up a song to close out this morning. And it's an old classic. And I know you'll recognize this song, and it's called What the World Needs Now, which is obviously what the name of our theme is this morning. But I want you to kind of pay attention to the lyrics here. And the first lyrics of the song are, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." Kind of cute, right? But when you read the lyrics to the song, or when you listen to the song, it kind of comes across as a prayer, asking the Lord for more love. And, you know, I think we can all agree that's one of the things that the world could use a little bit more of. But there are two types of love. We got the love of God, that agape love. And on the other hand, we have the natural human love, which often comes in the form of rainbow flags and garbage like that. So, let's clarify something. What the world needs now more than ever is the God kind of love, and less of natural human love. Because God is love, and in turn, He loves us. Supernatural love that the Bible calls agape. This agape love is selfless, unconditional, not based on performance, and is given to us free of charge. Absolutely free. And just think for a moment what the world would be like if we all loved one another in this way. Agape love is a selfless love that puts the desires and needs of others ahead of our own. And on the other hand, natural love is an emotion. It's based on how we feel, what the circumstances around us are like. And this is the type of love that we absolutely do not need more of. There's plenty of that going around. Because in today's environment, you can go to the store and find empty shelves of toilet paper. You remember, who remembers those days? Quite wild, huh? But for some reason, it was in short supply. But today we have a superabundance of the natural kind of love. And that is basically me first and you second. It's all about me. My needs, my peace, my thoughts, my abilities, me, 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 me. And then I might think about you if I feel like it. But what seems to be in short supply and what there is actually just too little of is that agape love, the love that puts others first before ourselves. And yes, the world needs to be more loving, gentle, gracious, joyful, contented, restful, and a more kind place. I think we could all agree with that. But those are all biblical qualities that I would say the world is almost incapable of doing. History has repeatedly demonstrated that the world does not produce love naturally. And sure, there are isolated acts of kindness, you might call them, but overall, this world is pretty self-centered. So, that's where we come in. To be God's hands and feet, to be the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. Because we have what the Word of God says we have, and all of those other truths that we throw around from time to time. But guys, I love this topic. We just don't have time to develop this whole thing, but wanted to close out with the song, What the World Needs Now, and I encourage you to reflect on the kind of love that only God can really provide, and the purpose that we have been called to. Okay, so God bless you all. Enjoy this song, and then I'll have a prayer to wrap this thing up.
Is love, sweet love, it's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, no, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, another mountain, there are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. There's just too little of what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you wanna know what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for
Father God, we say thank you. The privilege that we have to be your children and holiness to be ministers of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Ask that you continue to guide our steps as we navigate through this ridiculous, ridiculous world that we live in, Father. You didn't intend it to be this way, but those are the cards we're dealt with. But we're up for the challenge. So I pray for each heart in attendance this morning and over the conference call and Facebook Live that you touch our hearts and inspire us in ways that we never thought possible. Because what the world needs now is your love, Father, and your love only. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and they all said, Amen. God bless you all.
All right. Great. Okay.